We spent a little bit of time getting into, you know, that 60 years of preparation, much of which is not recorded. But I don't want us to forget Joshua was 60 years old when he entered the Promised Land, and that Caleb was 78 years old. And that should be an encouragement to us. We were told in Numbers chapter 26 that there were 110,000 capable warriors who could have gone into the Promised Land. And yet God only selected 40,000. I don't know the whole reason behind that, but I want to say this morning that we ought to aspire to be listed among the 40,000. We're all capable, we're all equipped in the body of Christ, but for some reason, some people stay back. I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be you. I want to aspire to be listed among the 40,000. And it's okay to aspire to be fruitful and to be effective in the anointing. The anointing is unconditional. That's a beautiful truth. And it's not incremental. Remember the word to our bishop? It's not like you should, if you've been doing it right for the last 5 years, perhaps you'll be effective in the anointing. No, it's fresh and new every morning. Not even that, every moment. If we'll just submit before God in brokenness and repentance when we miss it, the anointing, that our cups are filled fresh and anew. We're reading as a faculty and staff at Restoration, The Calvary Road by Hessian. I encourage you to pick it up. Simple read. And he just talks about Jesus is constantly passing by to fill our cups. So that in a moment we blow it and we sense the life of the Spirit is being suppressed, we simply say, Lord, I blew it there. Fill me again. We want to be fruitful and so prove to be His disciples and bring glory to Him, as we're told in John chapter 14, verse 8, our purpose in this world, that we would be fruitful. And so we want to aspire to that. We're going to look at four characteristics this morning of the 40,000. Here they are. I'll list them and then we'll go through them. Stay with me because this will be pretty quick. Four characteristics. Number one, they equipped themselves. Number two, they engaged in battle. Number three, they encouraged themselves. And number four, they refused entanglement. Okay? I'll say those again. Number one, they equipped themselves. Number two, they engaged in battle. And you can put in parentheses there, on behalf of others. Number three, they encouraged themselves. And number four, they refused to be entangled. All right, let's delve into our text, Joshua chapter 1, verse 10, 11. And Joshua, commander of the officers of the people, commanded the officers of the people. Pause for a moment. He learned the lesson from Moses, didn't he? He didn't go around and try to do all the instruction himself. He commissioned some officers to do so. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan, to go and take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. I want to remind you that I really believe as a church God has us on the shores of the Jordan River. We're about to enter into some awesome stuff. I believe in a couple years, 2 or 3 years from now, we're going to look back and we're going to be amazed. But we're in this place where God, that prophetic word that Robert gave a few weeks ago, He's teaching us what it means to be in formation. And Joshua's first commandment to the people, and it's the commandment to us, it's the first commandment to us every day, is to simply prepare your provisions. Prepare your provisions. Equip yourself every day. There are two provisions necessary for war, food and weapons. And every morning, we must prepare our provisions. I don't care if it's that 30 seconds of surrender that I talked about earlier, or we get more time to get in His Word and to get in prayer. So utterly essential. If you and I are going to face the battles of the day with victory, it's going to come back to some first love, simple principles. Be a person of the book and a person of prayer. You cannot get around it. Notice Joshua said, prepare your provisions. He didn't say, look for someone else to prepare your provisions. Young people, listen to me. Don't look to your mom and dad to prepare your provisions. At a young age, be a people of the book and a people of prayer. I've challenged our church to read the gospel every day. That would take you about 24 seconds. Perhaps your meditation would go a little deeper than that. And be in prayer. It could be 5 minutes. Learn to pray. Here's the beautiful thing. As the book of Jeremiah was saying, Jeremiah said, I tasted your word. As we get in the book and as we get in prayer, our hunger to be in the presence of God increases. You will want more. You'll find yourself going from the gospel and saying, I want to taste the epistle today. Give me some of that psalm. You'll find your hunger increasing. Same with prayer. But here's the counterbalance of the flesh. The more we get out of those simple disciplines of being in the book and in being in prayer, our hunger decreases. Start being lax in your church attendance. You'll find yourself not desiring to go to church. That's the flesh. Get out of the book. You'll find it becomes more of a laborious task to get in the book. But if you'll enact that simple discipline, you'll get hungrier. Prepare it for yourselves. Prepare your provision. This is first love, simple stuff that's going to come from this pulpit as long as I stand here over and over. I'll say it in 1,000 different ways because we cannot get around it. It's incredibly important. You hear something in ministry. I've heard it over the years. People say, well, I'm not being fed. And they're usually talking about the minister, whoever's preaching. I'm not being fed by that person. I understand that. And I want to tell you, I take it very serious to get in the scriptures and bring you God's word. But let me tell you what, a mature believer feeds themselves. And then you come to church, you know what happens? God simply confirms what He's been saying to you all week. Or maybe He adds on it. So I'm not surprised when someone comes up to me and says, hey, you know what? You just confirmed what Jesus has been telling me all week. Or maybe you added to it. That doesn't surprise me. That's just a mature believer that's learned to feed themselves. You want to be listed? I want to be listed among the 40,000. Then we have to equip ourselves. Daily, prepare your provisions. If you take that truth alone home today, hallelujah. That's about all you need because God will do the rest. All right, let's move on here. Verses 12 through 15. Let me take a sip. The Reubens are in this text. It says, and the Reubenites, you're in here. Pretty cool. Verse 12, the Reubenites. That's what you've now been nicknamed the Reubenites. Sorry. It's happened. The whole church is going to call you the Reubenites. The Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as He has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it in the land of Moses, a servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. Now, the audience here is called the Transjordan tribe. Now, this is the 2.5 tribes that Joshua is speaking to. And these were the tribes that, when they got around the Jordan, before they crossed, said, we really like this land. This is nice. It's irrigated. This is plush. We want to stay here. Now, is it better to choose your own green pasture or allow the Lord to make you lie down in green pastures? The answer should be obvious. See, what happened was God wanted to put a natural boundary, the Jordan River, between the Israelites and their enemies. So the Transjordanian tribes that wanted to remain east of the Jordan, actually, they paid the price later. By trying to choose their own green pasture instead of allowing the Lord to make them lie down in green pastures. But we're gonna learn a little bit from them. See, Joshua said that, he said, as Moses commanded you. Let's go back to the initial conversation with these 2.5 tribes and Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. Turn there with me. That's when Joshua says, as Moses commanded you, he's talking about this conversation that Moses had with them. Let me read verses 18 through 20. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your men of valor shall cross over armed with your brothers, the people of Israel. Only your wives and your little ones and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall remain in the cities that I have given you. Hear this phrase. You can underline it. And we're going to talk about this. Until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as to you, and they also occupy the land that the Lord your God gives them beyond the Jordan, then each of you may return to his possession which I have given you. Until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as to you. It's a really key phrase there. See, when Moses found out that they wanted to remain east of the Jordan, in Numbers chapter 32, verse 6, he said, shall your brothers go to war while you sit here? What he was saying here was, he was challenging them, you want the blessings, but you don't want to fight. That's what he was saying to them. That's what Moses was saying. You want the blessings, but you don't want to fight. And that's not an option. That's a good word to the church. We're forgiven. We're set free. We're blessed. We're adopted. We're delivered. But sometimes we tend to sit on those things. He says, until the Lord gives your brothers rest, fight. Okay? Until the Lord gives your brothers rest, fight. How long do we fight? Till Jesus comes back or He takes us home to be with Him. We are the church militant. We are engaged whether we like it or not. Robert brought to a wonderful chapel this past week to the kids of RA. We're engaged, a church militant, fighting on behalf of our brothers. Now, it's interesting. He says, as to you. You give your brothers rest as to you. See, these tribes already had rest. They had their land. They had already possessed their land east of the Jordan. But he said, you're gonna go fight. And this is what Moses is doing. He is teaching the people of Israel. He's teaching these tribes. And the Lord will use this message to teach us this morning this paradox. How to be at rest and not be at rest at the same time. Okay? How we're at rest while we're not at rest. Let me explain. This is very important. I hope that you catch this. Being at rest while not being at rest. God drove this point home to me in prayer this week. I was praying. It was that time that I'm describing to you of kneeling, just resurrendering. And I felt the Lord minister to me a truth that I preached months ago. And it was from John chapter 14, where the disciples were, you know, they were questioning. They were going like, who are you? Where are you taking us? What are you doing? And Jesus made this statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said it this morning in my reading in John. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Here's the truth behind those incredible statements. Our search has ended. Our search has ended. What else are we looking for? Why are we trying to prove ourselves? Why are we trying to store up so we'll have enough? Why are we trying to figure out what's going on and what's going to happen next year and the next and in the lives of our children and in this and that and this economy? Your search has ended. That's a great reminder as you enter into your day. Your search has ended. Your search has ended. Everything you need is found in Christ. Period. Now, I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm looking out my porch and he says, but there's a world out there whose search has not ended. And the enemy is ravishing their soul. You're at rest as you should be. Don't waste your energy pursuing and performing and all those things that just literally sap our passion and life out of us. Our search has ended. Be at rest. But don't be at rest, because there's a world out there that's not at rest. And in fact, they are being ravished by an enemy. Be at rest, but help others search to end by introducing them to Jesus. It's really that simple. I take the peace of God that He's lavished upon me because my search has ended. I have nothing else to find, nothing else to possess. My search has ended. That's the peace that I take into this world who's at war in their own souls and ravished, depressed, confused, anxious. And I take that gift of peace that my search has ended. And I'm not at rest because they're not at rest. And I am engaged in this battle for their sake. I'm engaged in this battle for their sake. Let's read on. Verse 21 and back in Deuteronomy chapter 3. And I commanded Joshua at that time, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms into which you are crossing. You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. Listen to this. What Moses is saying is, encourage yourself by reminding yourself what God has done. Encourage yourself by reminding yourself what God has done. What he's saying here is, remember what the Lord has done and do not fear. I want you. This is our battle cry, guys. This is spiritual warfare. This is what you have to say to your own spirit. This is what I mean by encourage yourself. Remember what the Lord has done and do not fear. I don't care what comes around the corner on Monday morning. Remember what the Lord has done and do not fear. Moses is using the example of these kings that supposedly had all the power and God just removed them. There were kings in your life and there were kings in my life, and it's called the slavery of sin that God Himself has removed from my throne, and He sits there. He is Lord. I am no longer a slave to sin. Listen to the words of the great apostle in Romans chapter 6, verse 18. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness, sin no longer has dominion over you. That lust, that envy, that greed, that pride, that fear, that anxiety no longer has dominion over you. He sits on the throne of your heart ruling. Now you will battle those things. I will battle those things. But as we battle those things, remember what the Lord has done and do not fear. It is a commandment. It is spiritual warfare in your mind that you will reflect back and not be so forgetful. Look how far the Lord has brought you. Consider what He has delivered you from. Look at His lavishing provision in your family, in your marriage, upon your life, and do not fear. He will be faithful no matter what comes around that corner. Remember what the Lord has done and do not fear. Be a person that learns to encourage yourself. David is the greatest example in Scripture. You constantly see him encouraging himself before battle. Remember what the Lord has done and do not fear. Back in Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. I love this little section. It's just full of surrender and allegiance. Think of Joshua as a Messiah type figure here as you listen to this. And of course, he has been considered that. And they answered Joshua. What does his name mean? The Lord is salvation, right? All that you commanded us, and they believe that this is the whole army here, the whole nation that was the audience. All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Well, that makes me think of deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as He was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words Whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Listen to me. These warriors, these 40,000, they traveled light and refused to be entangled by stuff and people. These warriors, they traveled light and refused to be entangled by stuff and people. See, in our flesh, we have codependent idol factories. That's what our hearts are. They're codependent idol factories. I mean, we need to know that that's Romans 3:23. That's the sin nature that we possess. Where Paul said to Timothy, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And what I mean by traveling light and entering your day and not being entangled by stuff and people is to live instead of like this, like our Lord on the cross. If my heart is not entangled by stuff, I freely give. And I don't fall apart when stuff breaks, because it's stuff. My heart's not entangled by it. If it is, I need to repent. Whatever it is that I think I have to have. Or if that goes wrong, my life is going to fall apart. Hogwash. Who's holding your life together? Is it stuff? And not entangled by people. You know, when people let you down or when people leave, what learning to your allegiance is to your King and you have to go on. And that may be the toughest thing in life, especially when it has to do with close friends and family. And our little codependent heart says, I need them or they need me. You need Jesus. And so do I. And sometimes we just have to, in our allegiance to Christ, as we follow Him, we have to let people go. I tell the kids at RA this all the time because they're going through so much, especially the older ones. And they feel responsible to parent their parents or to raise their siblings. And I say, you follow Jesus. You follow Jesus. Jesus will take care of them. Remember the story with David when he went off to war and the troops came in and took away his family and all the goods of his soldiers in Ziklag? And this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 10. 200 stayed behind that were too exhausted to cross the brook. And that's fine. And you know the end of the story. Once they go and they get the goods, and the soldiers that went with David said, we're not giving anything to them. And you know what? The Scripture calls them wicked. Of course we are. We're fighting on their behalf. But we can't stay back there with them. That's what we do. That's what it looks like to be entangled by people. Sometimes you have to let them go, and your allegiance is to your Lord alone. God will take care of them. Especially family. I want you to hear me on that. It's tough stuff. It's one of the easiest ways for us to get tripped up. No stuff or person is an excuse for me not to be overflowing with the life of the Spirit, period. May God give us the grace to be a part of the 40,000. Equipping ourselves daily, being people of the book and prayer. Engaged in battle on behalf of others. Being at rest, but not being at rest. My search is ended, so I want to help end the search of others by simply introducing them to Jesus. Learning to encourage ourselves by remembering what the Lord has done and refusing to fear. And not becoming entangled by stuff or people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.